From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 30th, 2013. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Cars are now manufactured with sensors to monitor tire pressure, engine health, and even driving habits. Data is captured en route and leading to a wealth of telematics information. The future of the connected car and big data is our topic for today. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Directions Magazine and the International Map Industry Association invites you to the first .map conference this September 8th to the 10th in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Mapmakers from the print and digital worlds will gather to explore new ways to deliver content, new ways to derive revenue from both print and digital, and new ways to design maps for a new audience in web, mobile, and print. We hope you'll join us for this unique collision of ideas in map publishing. Find more details at mapconference.net. So, Dina, for a long time, cars have had computer electronics that monitor the health of the car, hence the reason why so many of our repairs can only be performed by a mechanic with a diagnostic device. But cars are really becoming even smarter. Sensors are recording both time and place, and they give driver feedback, is now occurring in kind of real time. And it's not just traffic or weather data that are being fed to drivers. It may even be information based on data coming from another car. Let's look at some data. From one of the articles I've posted in the show notes, we've learned that Google's prototype self-driving quasi-robotic car generates nearly a gigabyte of data every second. And beyond basic navigation, it can even detect a cigarette butt thrown on the ground. And then it knows that a person might appear all of a sudden from behind a corner of a car. So on average, if you look at the typical American who drives about 600 hours per year, this is coming from the article we've posted, that equals about 2 petabytes of data per car per year. In addition, cars are outfitted with sensors that have the potential to identify unusual events in real time and to proactively take actions on potential performance issues. And I think a lot of our listeners may have seen TV commercials where the vehicle may automatically apply the brakes in a situation where a collision is imminent. And according to our source, in the future, when a car owner has linked its daily agenda or calendar of appointments in his vehicle, the car may actually make an appointment directly for the car owner to be serviced by the nearest maintenance shop. And that's just discussing technology about a single vehicle. There are now activities surrounding how the connected car communicates with other cars. And according to a study by NHTSA, that's the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, 80% of all non-impaired accidents could be prevented by cars talking to each other. So NHTSA research shows that these technologies could help prevent a majority of these kinds of crashes, such as those that occur at intersections or when switching lanes. And in fact, the FCC has dedicated a band around 5.9 gigahertz for dedicated short-range communication just for connected cars. And one of the other things I posted to our show notes is an interview I did with Bob DeNiro, who's a former Nokia executive in their automotive division, and he now chairs the U.S. Department of Transportation's Intelligent Transportation System program at Federal Advisory Board. And he says that there's a ruling possibly this fall where NHTSA will be mandating some form of vehicle-to-vehicle communication. We're going to see a lot of spatial data being collected by vehicles, and I think the importance of big data spatial analytics is on the horizon, and I think we haven't really even begun to think of all the possible applications out there beyond what we know already, like traffic and safety. So, Adina, what do you think are the possible applications of the data collected by smart and connected cars? And maybe give me a sense of some of the applications you may have thought of, and maybe some things are plausible, some of them maybe even off the wall.
based on just the data that you described that could be collected and then shared either between cars or between cars and sensors, I think all of the ideas I came up with are absolutely possible. Whether there will be enough demand to turn them into actual applications is a whole nother issue. So the first one I thought of has to do with, should you in fact even have a car? So one of the things that I think about a lot, since I don't drive a lot because of where I live and the fact that I have a bike and the parking is difficult, there's all kinds of reasons, but I don't drive a lot. So it seems to me if my car was capturing all this data about where I go, how often I go, how many miles I travel, from that it could figure out how much it costs me to run the car and buy the gas and the maintenance and everything else, and it could take information about where public transportation goes, you know, where the zip cars are, or the other sort of car sharing things. It could look at the length of, you know, how far I drive, you know, could I walk there, could I take a bike. So I want it to do all of this analysis, and after a month or however long a period it needs to gather the data, tell me, should I have a car or not? And if I should not have a car, what set of combination of resources can I use to get around the places that I seem to go all the time?
I think you've raised one of the points that I would say is something for insurance companies. I see that your driving habits might directly apply to how somebody might underwrite a policy for you. And this is one of the things that I was going to bring up. I think the insurance industry is one of those areas where it could really benefit by a lot of this data coming from the vehicle. But in your particular instance, your driving behavior is less, and your other forms of transportation factor into everything that would go into somebody underwriting a policy. So this is essentially driver-based insurance, and I know that has been also discussed.
Well, let me take it the other way.
Yeah.
So let's take the zip cars of the world, and there are
right.
a number of kind of similar kinds of offerings that are popping up more and more all the time. They are the ones who should be marketing this, because what they can do is give me a thing that I plug into, you know, USB, I plug into my car, and then I mail it back to them or I give it back to them, and they run the analysis and say, hey, we can offer you a package, you know, with Zipcar and maybe a subscription to our bike sharing service here in Somerville, and maybe we'll get you a discount on public transit, you know, a monthly pass, and we can offer you the same level of transportation that you're getting from your car, but through us, and it'll cost you X dollars a month.
Well, now that's an interesting business model for Zipcars, because I could see them repositioning themselves, pivot, if you will, to being that all-inclusive transportation company that services the individual. They could give you the Zipcar, they could give you transportation vouchers, they might even service your insurance if you prefer to own a car. And then down the road in 10 years, which is what everybody's predicting, that zip car will be a platooned car. It will be a robot. It will be dedicated to lanes where you hop in the vehicle and it drives you from point A to point B. I think all of those are possible, and all of those are going to leverage the data that's coming from the connected vehicle situation.
Right. And once they figure out sort of who I am and what kind of person might be a candidate for its service, they can find other people like me. But to date, I have not crossed that bridge. I still have a car. Okay, Zipcar, there's your free idea. Take it.
Yeah, take it and run with it. It just seems to me that if we're going to collect all this data, what is the type of spatial information that we're getting? And we have to realize that all of this data, at least when the vehicle is in motion, is captured linearly. A lot of things that are from a safety point of view, the switching lanes, the collision avoidance, that is really what all of this information, so much of the investment is going into today, is simply accident avoidance. If you think of all the money that can be saved just on preventing fender benders, and I had a situation recently where a family member was involved in a fender bender, and it made me thinking, if you only had that immediate feedback information where it's prevented you from stepping on the gas to prevent that fender bender. This happens daily, how many thousands of times around the country, then thousands of dollars could be prevented. So that's not an off-the-wall idea. But if all I had was that little intervention from the car that says, don't step on that gas, you're going to hit that car in front of you, how many millions of dollars could be saved in insurance policies and car repairs. It may put a few car repair places out of business, but from the driver perspective, I think it would be a huge help.
I do too, and I think that's, as the communications between the cars matures, that sounds like it's going to be part of everybody's car, from the economy version up to the luxury cars.
Right, because today only the luxury cars seem to have the sensors on it, but you can see the mid-level models are already beginning to incorporate sensors.
Absolutely, and the other one that I'll add on to that is the automatic parallel parking.
Yeah, right.
That would reduce my stress level significantly. I'm not a great parker.
How many high schoolers are just fearful of parallel parking in their exams?
That was the hardest part of the test, absolutely. Now let's look at the other side of the accident situation. So you get into an accident, and I have a friend who, interestingly, she got into a bicycling accident I was there, and then not long later she got into a car accident, and from this was derived that she had a medical condition that they didn't know about. But one of the problems was they took away her license because they couldn't be sure of exactly what it was that got her into that car accident. So I was thinking, if we have all of this data being collected, not only from sort of the black box in her car about when she stepped on the gas, when she stepped on the brake, what she crashed into, you know, how she reacted, did she grab onto the steering wheel, or did she, you know, what did she do physically? We could really get at, you know, what the medical condition was. And we could even, from the other cars, figure out exactly, did she cross the lane? Did she crash into another car? Those kinds of things, to sort of do the forensics to help track back to the medical issue. And then maybe, instead of taking away her license, we could diagnose it faster and, you know, get her back in her car.
Yeah, so you're backing into the data based on a number of observations that the vehicle could capture about that individual. One of the things that I thought of was the self-adjusting tire pressure. And that's a little bit specific, maybe a little bit off the wall, but many of the more luxury vehicles have a self-sensing auto tire pressure. I would love to see that if you're sensing the tire pressure, repressurize the car. And I know that may be additional information or additional devices that would have to be added, but we're all talking about safety, and tire pressure is one of those very basic things about a car that needs to be monitored, and people always forget to do it. I just think some sort of device about readjusting your tire pressure, balancing your tire pressure, could go a long way for driver safety. So that was one of the things that I had come up with.
Probably driver safety and efficiency.
But tire wear.
Do I remember this correctly? If your tires aren't at the right pressure, your miles per gallon goes down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So not only safety, but also, you know, efficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how they would do that. I guess through the rim, you could have some sensor and some way of pumping air into the tire.
Well, you know, the car is going at several miles an hour already. It's ingesting air into the...
It's going to pressurize it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably a very minor piece of equipment that could be added.
Okay, so we've got our car, we've got our data on our car, we've got data about how the person uses the car or how the family uses the car. We got sort of behavior data. This is just a situation that happens to, again, as somebody who doesn't drive that much. One of the times that I do drive, and my car would learn this about me, is I often drive when it's very cold or when it's very wet. Right?
Right.
So could my car be smart enough to know, oh, hey, it's 6 o'clock at night on a Tuesday and it's raining. And, oh, on Tuesday nights, Adina goes to track. My car would learn that I go to track. And sometimes I drive there. Would it be smart enough to, in communicating with all the other cars that it comes into contact with, that is my friend's cars, could it say, be smart enough to say, hey, Adina, don't drive to track practice, because Liz, who lives down the street, is also going to drive to track practice and she can give you a ride. So sort of negotiate those sort of carpooling opportunities for you based on your behavior.
So that's one of those opt-in types of services where if you are, and maybe facilitated by Facebook, if you think about it. So that you're attaching your agenda, you're attaching your daily calendar to a opt-in service that would say, look, can we carpool? And so, yeah, that's a great example.
So it's either adding Facebook, sort of your personal social information with your car's social information, if you will. So it either could come out of Facebook. So it knows, for example, that I'm friends with Liz down the street, and that she only lives a few blocks away, and that she goes to track on Tuesdays. Maybe even more importantly, find the three other people who live within a block of me who also might want to drive.
Right.
You know,
right.
Something like that.
And it's based on time of day and weather conditions, because if the weather conditions were better, you might opt to bike, for example, or walk.
We run to track, usually. So this idea of not just the connected car, I would call this is the social car. The social car sort of knows itself, it knows you, and it knows your friends and their cars.
Well, and it's a perfect application, because the whole idea where your preferences will eventually be linked to some sort of marketing opportunity as well. So you mentioned here, in this case, it's carpooling. Essentially, what we're going to find is there's an intersection of marketing and in-vehicle communications, just like we have in smartphones. All of these things, I think hopefully we brought up some great examples to our listeners. The last one I want to mention is my I would classify as sending a nasty gram to bad drivers. Years ago, I remember my cousin had essentially a little pad of paper and also some canned messages where we'd hold up kind of a handheld device, and he would hold it up to the driver who he thought was driving poorly, and it said something like, well, let's put say expletive deleted, but something, you bad driver. And I would love to have a little flashing message that would indicate to the driver next to me, you almost cut me off. I wish you would go away and take driving lessons. So sending a nasty gram to bad drivers is my last suggestion for today.
Yeah, and maybe that's sort of the intersection of your car and Twitter.
Very good. Very
so
good,
your car will know you're about Facebook. It will know about Twitter, and it can And assuming all of this technology works out, you could send the message, you would articulate it via voice, and it would get transferred to the car next to you. You could say, the red car over there,
right.
And it would send it over to them, and that it would be read aloud to them, and there you go. Mission accomplished.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed our podcast about the connected car. We'd love to hear from you and your ideas about the connected car. And from us here at Directions Magazine, we'd like to invite you to the first .map conference, where map makers from the print, web, and mobile worlds will gather to discuss new business models and applications. For more information, go to mapconference.net. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Mag, or send us a tweet @DirectionsMag. Thanks again for joining us today. And be sure to tell a friend.